Thanks for inviting me into your home, long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm Richard Serrett. And tonight, this morning, we're coming to you live from Coast's Toronto, Canada affiliate, In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. Last night, I apparently came close to causing some kind of international incident. I don't know, rekindling the War of 1812 between Canada and the United States, when I went to the phones and I welcomed a caller from Denver who had called in on the west of the Rockies line. And then the tweets came and the emails. What's it going to take for this Canadian DJ, one began, for him to understand Denver is not west of the Rockies? It's east of the Rockies. Yes, it is. Not sure why the caller from Denver was on the west of the Rockies line, and I should have caught that. I know Denver is east of the Rockies. Apologies to good folks of Denver if that upset you. Thanks for the emails, Rand McNally. One of my favorite books read during my college days was Joseph Heller's Catch-22. And I was thinking of this passage as I contemplated tonight's first hour. Group headquarters was alarmed. For there is no telling what people might find out once they felt free to ask whatever questions they wanted. Colonel Cathcart sent Colonel Korn to stop it, and Colonel Korn succeeded with a rule governing the asking of questions. Colonel Korn's rule was a stroke of genius. Colonel Korn explained in his report to Colonel Cathcart, under Colonel Korn's rule, the only people permitted to ask questions were those who never did. Soon, the only people attending sessions were those who never asked questions, and the sessions were discontinued altogether, since Clevenger, the corporal, and Colonel Korn agreed that it was neither possible nor necessary to educate people who never questioned anything. Never has it been more important to question everything. And in the absence of any intellectual curiosity from the mainstream media, it has fallen upon independent media outlets to ask vitally important questions. The pioneer in online independent media is sounding the alarms. The devastating attacks by the digital cartel, Google and Facebook, he says, on the independent media for the last year have been engaged in a scorched earth policy intended to shut down independent online media. Joseph Farah is the founder and publisher of WND. He says for his news organization that predates even Matt Drudge, the hour is late and the threat is large. In an op-ed piece last spring, Joseph wrote, those on the left may not own the White House today, but they own every other cultural and political institution in America, and they're going in for the kill. Total control. They already own the means of distribution of news and information, and they're preparing to lock it up and seal it tight. Farah believes that this fight, at the end of the day, will determine whether or not freedom of speech on the internet will survive, and the internet independent media are just the lab rats in a grand and gruesome experiment for total control of thought, he writes, by the left. If the lab rats die, it will be on to stifling other voices through intimidation and humiliation. Joseph Farah joins me in hour one to discuss attempts to exterminate independent media. Many of us learned about the Garden of Eden in Sunday school from our parents, perhaps. It involved a snake set loose in paradise, where Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were tempted by the serpent to eat an apple. And for this, we were told, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. And for this seemingly innocuous offense, mankind was forever stained with original sin. And there was something in there about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life. It was all rather vague and confusing. A very quaint version of events, as it turns out, a cartoon version, highly sanitized for a young audience, turned into a bedtime story. Now, what if most of what we learned about the Genesis account of the garden is wrong? Was there, in fact, a talking, walking snake? Where was the Garden of Eden? Where is it now? What is the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What is the tree of life? What is the forbidden fruit Adam and Eve tasted? What could Adam and Eve possibly have done to get them kicked out of paradise? Best-selling author and former law enforcement official Pastor Carl Gallups has a brand new book out, Gods of Ground Zero, in which he uncovers the long-buried truth about what went down in the garden. In the immortal words of Joni Mitchell, we are stardust, we are golden, we are billion-year-old carbon, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden. We'll do that in hours 2, 3, and 4. Who would ever overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech, said Benjamin Franklin. Well, the granddaddy of online independent media, Joseph Farah, is on deck with news that will have old Ben rolling in his crypt. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak in a peg, grab a stool, and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett. You're listening to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Joseph Farah launched the new media revolution back in 1997 with the first independent alternative online news site, WorldNetDaily.com, now known as WND.com. He left the mainstream media where he worked for 20 years running daily newspapers in major markets like Los Angeles and Sacramento to do it and never looked back. Joseph is also the author of The Restitution of All Things, The Gospel in Every Book of the Old Testament, and Taking America Back, A Radical Plan to Revive Freedom, Morality, and Justice, to name just a few. Joseph Farah, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm great, Richard. Thanks for having me today. But before you get me into a lot of trouble here, please don't suggest that I believe I was doing this before Matt Drudge, okay? We were the first independent online news site, you got that right, 1997, but actually Matt Drudge preceded us by probably almost 2 years.
Ah, all right. Well, thank you for that correction.
We do different things, and he's a friend, and
he's
a great pioneer in his own right.
All right. Well, I botched that just like I did Denver, but thank you for the correction. Now, for those not familiar with WND, how would you describe your editorial philosophy?
Well, I think it's fair to say that that most people who would look at the WND.com would say that we are on the right side of the spectrum. I like to think of ourselves. I never describe it that way. What I describe it as the independent alternative online. I worked in the mainstream media, as you know, Richard, for 20 years before starting this first online independent news site. I ran daily newspapers in major markets like Los Angeles and Sacramento. All I ever wanted to do was be a newspaper editor and run daily newspapers. But after 20 years, I honestly saw my industry drifting leftward. And I thought that we really needed more balance in the media. And when I saw the internet, I said, this is it. This is our chance to do something, because it was a lot easier starting a website in 1997 than it was starting a newspaper.
Right. Now, you say this, you describe this as a scorched earth policy by the digital cartel. I think, we're all aware of who you're talking about. Let's just spell it out for us in black and white.
Sure.
Who is the digital cartel? And then we'll get into what this scorched earth policy is all about that you say sort of began in earnest about a year ago.
Yeah, I think of them as six companies. Google, YouTube, which is really one big company. YouTube is wholly owned by Google. Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, and Apple. Now, a lot of people don't include Amazon. It doesn't impact, like most of my colleagues and independent journalism, the way it impacts us. We're also book publishers, and as you know, have been for 20 years. But for us, it's a reality because it's another revenue stream for us. And what I think we have all found in the independent media, and I might as well define that for you too, the way we think about it. If you think about WND.com, Breitbart.com, DailyCaller.com, those kinds of news services, news gathering, okay, news gathering, which separates us from Matt Drudge, who you know, does something very, very valuable, I think, for all of America, because he's got an incredible sense of news judgment. And, you know, there's no better place to go on the Internet to this very day. I think he's been in business for 22 years, and I think I've been with him ever since. You know, it's the best tip sheet around, and we all look at it, no matter whether we say we don't or not. We do. You have to. He defines what news is in this country as much as Google or Facebook does. The one thing he doesn't have is he's not in lockstep with, very, very powerful forces, so powerful in this country, with sharing a worldview, by the way. When you look at Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, and Apple, they may not even like each other. They may be competitive to some extent. They may have their own interests. But one thing they agree on is they agree with a very far left political agenda. And Richard, if I could just illustrate that for you in one way that would, you know, a lot of folks don't know this, but this is just one example of something they have in common, that when you think about it, all six of them, they all rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center as their speech code police, if you will. The people who define what hate speech is the Southern Poverty Law Center. They also pretty much work for all of the major media, all of the major newspapers in this country, in lockstep with them. And however they define hate speech, and I would be an example of that for you. It's been that way for at least 15 years, as well as my other colleagues in the independent media. That would give you, I mean, that should take your breath away.
You're on the list. You're on the enemies
list. Absolutely. It's an enemies list as real as, Richard Nixon's or anybody else's you want to think about in power.
So this scorched earth policy that the digital cartel has unleashed against WorldNet Daily, or WND rather, and Daily Caller and others, how does it work?
Well, the most pronounced way for us, it's a little bit different with every single one of us, but I think the common denominator is this. They starve us of traffic and ad revenue. Some, you know, are more affected by Facebook. Others are more affected by Google. For us, Google has been the reality of this for 10 years. It was just like a way of doing business, though. We knew it. We saw, year after year, we'd get less search engine traffic coming to WND.com than we did the year before. But it wasn't startling. It wasn't alarming in that sense, because it was gradual and it was slow. All that changed for me, for Daily Caller, for Breitbart.com, for all of them. We're all friends. We're all friendly competitors. What happened after the 2016 election was a game changer. Now, why was that? That was because we were the ones who were blamed for helping to elect Donald Trump. Because if you ask yourself, a lot of people ask themselves, how did Trump win? The media were totally against him. Every single New York Times, Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, you name it. And still, somehow, this guy won. Well, they blame Fox News. They blame us. That's it. There's nobody else to blame. And we now know that immediately after the inauguration in January of 2017, these activists, well, we've seen the videotapes of Google and so forth, but we also know that there were meetings that took place with, George Soros representatives and Facebook and Google. There was a plan put in place. I don't know to the extent of the organization. All I can say is what happened to us. And immediately, beginning in January 2017, we started to lose traffic. It was as if Google traffic disappeared, virtually disappeared. And we've done a number of analyses on that, which show how that impacted everybody at the same time. And it got worse after January, February, on and on. So we've been in this. This has been our reality ever since. And it's
well, paint me a picture. Before. Paint me a picture, Joseph. I'm not asking you to share bank statements with me, obviously, but give us a. I mean, what was it like for WND, let's say, 2 years ago, and what's it like now, and what how has it impacted WNT financially?
I don't mind sharing it all, because this is an existential threat for us. It has changed our life, the way we do business, and so forth. And I'll give you some broad strokes that will help put this in perspective. Prior to January 2017, let's take the last, 5-10 years. We did average business $10 to $15 million a year. We weren't. A gigantic corporation, but we had tremendous reach. We were never here. It was never about the money with us. We were never, trying to make a killing. We were doing what we loved to do, report the news, without fear and fear or favor, and, with our own independent eyes and ears. And so $10 to $15 million a year pretty regularly would swing between those two numbers. And 2016 was just over $10 million, okay? 2017, six. 2018, four. Okay, that's been the reality of what we're facing right now, just in broad numbers. In terms of traffic, we lost probably in that two-year period close to 70% of our traffic. And here's the way it works. Their algorithms, let's just use Google as an example. Their algorithms changed. We noticed initially, even in January 2017, we noticed something was going on, but we thought, there are things that happen from month to month. You can't put your finger on it. We didn't panic. In fact, we didn't panic for 6 months. But it just kept getting worse. We thought we were going to come out of this cycle, and we started looking at what's going on. And the only thing really that affected us was Google traffic disappeared. And Google advertising, which is very, very significant for anybody in this business, also took a nosedive. And so who else are you going to blame?
Right. Right.
Nothing now, else happened. And by the way, Richard, you should know, and you may know, that 10 years ago, I was picking fights with Google. I saw Google as a threat to privacy. I saw Google as a potential threat to freedom of the press, freedom of the speech, and all those things. And I've been blowing the horn for 10 years. They didn't come after me until January 2017 in a big way, in that kind of existential way. I'm not saying we were getting a lot of traffic from Google, but maybe instead of 15% of our traffic, which is negligible, if you want to compare that to, let's compare that to like the Huffington Post, which is a left wing, it's not news, it's a joke, it's a big blog site, but they get like 40% of their traffic from Google, whereas we now get like 6 or 7 or 8%.
Well, that's an interesting study, WND versus Huffington Post, because you could describe them as an independent online media.
Right.
So this will determine whether what we're talking about is just sort of, rapacious capitalism and the big fish eating up the little fish and driving them out of business, or whether this is ideologically based.
It's totally ideologically based. We've known that all along. I was calling Google evil 10 years ago. Literally, I'd be on television talking about it, but I was no threat to Google until I was part of what they saw as the Trump threat, okay? And I really hope Donald Trump gets that. I think he does. I think we're very fortunate to have him at the very least there, saying, "Listen, we're going to look at this. We're going to look at antitrust. We're going to look at." By the way, do you know that Google and Facebook, Richard, actually under the American Communications Act, American Communications Decency Act of 1996, actually are supposed to be neutral.
Interesting. All right, Joseph, I got to jump in here. Excuse the interruption. We'll come back in a moment and pick up on this thread. This November, an asteroid known as 2015 TB145 is set to zip past Earth again. The 2,000-foot diameter rock, which is in certain light conditions bears a remarkable resemblance to a human skull, was first spotted flying by the planet in 2015 on Halloween. At that time, the asteroid missed Earth by about 300,000 miles. The Death Comet, as some have called it, is thought to be an extinct comet stripped away of its ice by numerous close encounters with the sun. Well, it's swinging around again, folks. Something wicked this way comes, and you can read more about it. It's in the highlights carousel up at Coast to Coast AM, where our webmaster tonight, Sean Latasore, has posted that. Back with more of my conversation with the founder and publisher of WND, Joseph Farah, when Coast to Coast continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you from Coast's Toronto, Canada affiliate, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. Founder and publisher of WND, Joseph Farah, is here. Joseph, before the break, you were describing the rules. Facebook, Google, they are supposed to be neutral.
That's a great place to resume, because this is critically important, and I believe it's the biggest vulnerability that those two big companies have. They get special treatment. They are not publishers. A lot of people, a lot of folks just don't understand. Well, why can't they do whatever they want? Why can't they just support the Huffington Post and not support you? Why do they have to treat you equally? Well, here's an important thing they did. They agreed to this because they are like the old-fashioned telephone companies. They're called carriers. They're not publishers. And to be utilities like that, which is what they're supposed to be, and there are huge advantages for them. For instance, they can't be sued for libel or defamation. Okay, that's part of that's part of doing business as a publisher like us, or any newspaper or website or so forth. Google and Facebook don't have those problems. They don't create content of their own. Their users create the content. So this was actually a very smart move in 1996 when they really started getting into business in a big way. Facebook came later. But Google was around, but it wasn't a factor. You know, if you think back to 1996, you probably never heard of Google. You heard of WND back then, but you didn't hear of Google. So they have these special privileges that most media companies do not have. And so they have this legal obligation to the federal government to be neutral in every single way. In other words, they should not be able to blacklist sites like Alex Jones. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. There should be the Justice Department should be after them immediately for that. On what basis do they? Because Alex Jones got some stories wrong, that's not a crime. Huffington Post does that every day. CNN does that every day. All the big major media do that. They make mistakes. They get things wrong. That's not a crime. What is a crime is when you start blacklisting publishers and broadcasters.
It's even worse than that. I mean, not only are they fiddling with algorithms to filter out conservative thought and to divert traffic away from WND and others, but now they're coming after people's sources of income. Groups like PayPal are cutting people off. Visa. I mean, this is like Mark of the Beast kind of stuff. They're saying, without this, you cannot do business. You cannot eat.
And we've been conscious of that for a number of years. And that gets worse every year. And you're absolutely right about that. I don't include them in the cartel because I want to make it easier for people to understand. But, you know, let's face it, with the political correctness that is in place right now in our culture and the pressure that is put on major corporations, you know, let's just put it plainly. Donald Trump's the dividing line. If you're for him, you're going to be subjected to this kind of abuse by corporate America, a big part of it. That's the reality. But this is particularly egregious because here's what we're up against, not just me anymore. Look, I became really conscious of this when it began affecting my life in January 2017. But since then, it has dawned on me what a threat this is to freedom of speech across the board, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and even, well, we all know about the privacy concerns, but even free elections. There's a Harvard psychologist by the name of Dr. Robert Epstein, senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He has done amazing research. And by the way, he is a liberal. He is a progressive. He says that he voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. So he has no ideological axe to grind. However, he understands the threat that it poses. You know, what if things swing the other direction in America? It might be conservative today, but if, let's say, Google changes hands, or the corporate culture of Google changes dramatically over the next few years, then somebody else's ox is going to be gored. This is not right. And these companies, Google alone, if you take Google alone, Dr. Robert Epstein says they have the power to change tens of millions of votes in this upcoming midterm election. Whether that happens or not, we won't know. But and the people who are being swung because of the power that Google has, Facebook too, but Google, by and large, can swing elections. Now, here we have an independent counsel investigating Russia from 2016. Russia, to my knowledge, I don't follow it that greatly, but to my recollection, they spent about $100,000 on the elections, and some of the money was spent in favor of Hillary Clinton, and some of it was spent for Donald Trump. And I don't believe that could possibly have, if $2 million was spent for Trump by the Russians, I don't believe it could have swung the election. With the amount of money that is spent in political elections in this country, no way that would have had any impact. Google can do that without spending any money whatsoever, simply by changing its algorithms. And that's what Robert Epstein has pointed out, and his work is meticulous and breathtaking, because I don't know how this midterm election is going to turn out, but I am convinced if nothing is done between now and 2020, Google will decide who wins the election.
Right. Now, meanwhile, Google, were they not hired by the People's Public Republic of China to censor?
They've been in bed with the Chinese for over 10 years. That's what first brought them to my attention. That's what was so outrageous to me, that they were working on behalf of censorship by the Chinese government. They took a little break from it. I like to think I might have had some impact on that because I was such a thorn in their side for so many years. It got embarrassing, quite honestly, because even the New York Times was doing stories about it. They took a little break from that. But they're back. They're back in China, and they're back negotiating with the Chinese to do the worst kind of censorship in the world. Censorship as overt as you can't mention Tiananmen Square. You can't mention dissidents. You just won't get the information if you're in China.
Right. Now, Google has revoked domain registration services for certain, and you know, there were some neo-Nazi publications, the Daily Stormer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think that's the next arrow in their quiver, that they're going to start revoking domain registration services for conservative publications?
It's possible. If there's no accountability, okay, and so far there really hasn't been. We've had congressional hearings. We've had the White House making some noise, the Justice Department doing some preliminary inquiries. But I have to tell you something. This is, look, we started out by saying this was like an existential threat for WND.com. This is an existential threat for freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, and free elections in this country. And I don't exaggerate. I am not hyping this. I am telling you from my own personal observations and the research that I've done. And, you know, Dr. Robert Epstein is a great guy. You know, you can say, well, Farah's just some kind of crazy right-winger, and, you know, he's going off. This guy is on the other side ideologically, but has scarier information than I do. He's scaring me. So,
do you want to see the Justice Department come down on Google and Facebook the way that Teddy Roosevelt came down on Standard Oil?
Yeah, I want to see them broken up. I think it's the only safe thing we can do. And, you know, I think the competition will be better for everybody, quite honestly. You can't, this is a cartel. You know, they work, you know, if you had one and not the other, then, you know, then we'd be better off. If you had, you know, some kind of ideological balance among all of these companies, we might have, but we don't have that. The deck is stacked against Republicans to such an extent. I can't believe the Republicans in power, in the White House, in Congress are doing nothing about this. And one of the reasons why is, number one, the biggest lobby in Washington is Google, the one that spreads the most money around, including some crumbs that they give to Republicans. And none of these guys want to say anything about it. It's just unbelievable.
Well, Google was recently accused of their staff, and they were recorded holding, you know, these meetings about how they were going to fiddle with the algorithms to filter out, for example, when President Trump was bringing in these extreme vetting rules for certain countries, mm-hmm. and people wanted to search that up, and certain pro-immigration sites came up only, and they said officially, well, no, we talked about it. It was just an idea. It was just a brainstorming idea, but we didn't actually do it. Can we believe them? Can we trust Google?
Well, I think I think they have shown restraint so far. I think they would like to do a whole lot more to impact the culture, impact, you know, the political culture, impact. I think that every, you know, that from the top executives on down, the corporate culture at Google, for instance, Facebook, same thing, is so slanted that way that they have to show some restraint, or the impact would be so obvious, so overwhelming, it would change things overnight in this country.
So what's going on with the net neutrality battle?
You know, I don't really think that that's a problem insofar as the main problem we're talking about. I think it would potentially, it could have made things more comfortable for Google and Facebook, which is the last thing you want to do when you're dealing with monopolies like this. Quite honestly, these guys are making so much money, they don't even know what to do with it. They just simply don't even know what to do with it. That's dangerous. But net neutrality would probably make their life easier, make them more profitable. That's my analysis of it.
If all things remain equal going into 2019, what is the fate of WND?
All things equal, as long as our people, our core audience, which is still very, very substantial. I gave you some numbers that, you know, sounded awful, and they are. But at the same time, you know, we've been around for so long. We have an organic audience, an audience that's loyal, that, you know, comes to WND every single day. And as long as they continue to support us with contributions, I'm begging every single day. That's the only way we're still here, begging. And they have answered the call. We started back in January of last year. And, you know, that's why I don't mind telling you how bad things are. You know, for a businessman like me, to share on national radio how bad this has gone. And it's not something cyclical. The irony is we had 8 years of Obama. We did great. Trump comes along, who we liked, and it's killing us as a result. Not his fault, but that is the thing that we're facing right now. And, you know, we're just hanging on. We have one-third the employees that we had a year ago, just to give you another indicator. It's hard.
And are you laying people off again?
No, we have nobody to lay off. Nobody better leave at this point. We have the core people left, and we need them all to stay, and they've been great at dealing with, you know, many of the adversities that we have at the company.
How are you treated by Twitter? Let's say you want to tweet one of your headlines.
Yeah.
Do you get blocked?
Nobody gets it. Doesn't matter how many if I have 10 million followers, they decide how many people get. It's the same way Facebook works. We don't even bother. I mean, you know, we routinely go through the process. So, you know, maybe a few, I don't know, maybe out of the millions that we have, or the hundreds of thousands of friends, or whatever we have, you know, a small percentage get it. We see almost nothing as a result from what we do.
There are people attempting to create new browsers,
right,
new social media platforms,
yes,
more sort of conservative friendly. Do you have much hope that they'll succeed?
Google has 90% of the market, so nothing's going to happen in my lifetime to see that change. Now, there are other experiments like, you know, a new internet, completely new internet. That has short-range potential. I'm all for it. I'm gung-ho. I'm waiting for it to happen, it would be a great thing, because there are only two things that can possibly happen to change what I'm discussing right now, and that is Google and Facebook are broken up, and we sort of start over again, and that would allow for the competition, okay? Nobody can compete with Google. It's a monopoly. You get it? I mean, you don't compete with them. They have all the money in the world. You can't compete with them. And plus, they're into so many different things. They're just not a search engine anymore. They control, between Facebook and Google, they control at least 75% of the digital advertising market. They decide who gets paid out of their chump change that they throw to the publishers. It's a nightmare, and the only things that can change this is breaking them up, or somebody comes up with a whole new platform that is not controlled by them any longer, and that's a more distinct possibility in the relatively near future.
Well, Joseph, I wish I had, you know, more encouraging news, but just all we can say is hang in there, hang tough. I know you will. You have. You're a survivor. And I personally enjoy WND. It's kind of my go-to news source. So all the best.
Don't feel sorry for me, but feel sorry for America. Free speech, freedom of the press, free elections if we don't fix this problem, Richard. And I appreciate your show very much. God bless.
God bless, Joseph. All right, we will discuss the Garden of Eden, what really went down in the garden, when we come back.